welcome to week 10 of All In with the Saints with Jake Seeley and Bobby McMahon. As always, if you want to tweet us, at All In Kid for myself, at Hello Bobby for Bobby, and we will answer any questions you have in between our shows. And hopefully we cover enough in the shows to get you ready and you're still in the hunt for things. So let's get right into what the Saints did last week, and then we'll get into waiver wire pickups and some game previews for the upcoming week 10. Basically, you know, it was, we're going to play the hot hand approach, and then we came into the game, and Mark Ingram owners were just hanging their heads because it was Tim Hightower at the beginning, and he wasn't coming off the field, and Ingram was walking up and down the sidelines with no helmet on, and all of a sudden, Mark Ingram comes in, and then all of a sudden, Mark Ingram rattles off over 150 yards, and both he and Hightower have a terrific day. I know it's the 49ers, and everybody runs against the 49ers, but at this point, is there a situation where we're saying this is similar to the Falcons and both running backs are startables in your league? Like even at a week where we have no Frank Gore, no Theo Riddick, no Latavius Murray, and no – there's somebody else. Who's the other one I'm forgetting this week that's on a bye? I'm going to go check. This is important. No LeSean McCoy. So maybe you're thin, and you have both because you handcuffed Mark Ingram. If similar to the Falcons, can you start both, not even just every single week, but both on the same team, Bobby?
I think you can, and I will caution that obviously the 49ers are one of the best matchups for opposing running backs, and that's why last week's show we felt so strongly that both of these guys were certainly startable and top 25 plays, and it worked out that both of them had a really nice game. So, you know, I think Ingram's back in his owner's good graces, but I certainly think that Hightower is going to stay involved. And that's something that we're going to just have to, you know, as fantasy owners, we'll have to deal with. But yeah, I think both of these guys are startable, especially if you look at the running back landscape. There's just not that many guys that you can feel confident week to week that they're going to get even 10 to 15 touches. So, you know, if they both are getting close to double digit touches, they're both in the RB2 range for me every week.
I completely agree with you. I think both of them are in that range. Both of them have the potential to hit RB1 upside. Granted, there'll be some weeks similar to Atlanta where, you know, Devontae Freeman is RB1 and Tevin Coleman's only a flex RB3 or vice versa. You run that risk just because it's always hard to give value to two running backs at that level consistently week in and week out, especially with a pass-heavy team like Drew Brees and the Saints are. So, but I think that just that upside alone and the fact that even if they're having a down day and only get 40 or 50 yards, they still have a good chance for a score, as we saw early this year with Mark Ingram when he was getting those yards and then he had the touchdowns 2 weeks in a row. So I'm with you on that one. On the wide receiver side of things, this is a matchup where a lot of people are going to say, oh, it's the Denver Broncos. Need to be a little bit concerned. It is at home, though, where Drew Brees is averaging 350 yards and 3 touchdowns per game this season. We always know how Drew Brees plays at home. Do we still start all three? It would be Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, or Willie Snead, or we consider benching Willie Snead because he's taken a step back but has still been productive. Like, how are you approaching this week and the fact that is it overcoming the matchup because these guys are elite, or is it we need to still consider the matchup and maybe we might have better options?
I do think we have to consider the matchup, but I also I'm definitely starting Drew, obviously. I'm definitely starting Michael Thomas and Brandon Cooks. I think Snead's the only one for me that is kind of on the fence. But if you look at what Matt Ryan did against the Broncos, 267 and one touchdown, I think Drew Brees can do better than that. I think he can best that at home. So even if you're looking at maybe 300, Drew Brees is averaging like 336 yards per game right now. So even if he gets 275, 300, and a couple scores, that's still going to mean a really good fantasy day for at least two of these guys. And Snead and Fleener, I think, are on the verge of being startable as well. So it really boils down to your other options. But Snead's still in the wide receiver three conversation for me. Thomas and Cooks are both just locked into my lineup no matter what the matchup is.
Yeah, as I've been saying, see if you agree with me on this one, Thomas is the number one wide receiver for the Saints now. He has surpassed Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is still, in fantasy purposes, a fringe wide receiver one. He's terrific big playability. But did you know since week three, Michael Thomas is number 8 in fantasy at wide receiver for standard and PPR? And on the season, even with those first 2 weeks of 50, only, I was going to say, quote unquote, only 50 some odd yards, is the fact that he's wide receiver 11 in PPR and wide receiver 13 in standard on the year.
Yeah, he's been amazing. What a rookie season he's having. I think when you look at the comparison between him and Cooks, it really fits the profile that Michael Thomas is the quote unquote number one. He's got the more prototypical size.
He's new Marcus Colston.
Exactly right, and that isn't to say. I mean, I feel that they're 1A and 1B personally, but yeah, when you look at who's going to get the red zone looks and who's going to be that you know big time receiver difference maker, I think that's Thomas, and Cooks certainly has a obviously huge upside as well, and I think it's a great time to own either of these guys.
Yeah, now let's go and hit on some of these waiver options that we have. Streaming quarterbacks, we always hit on first. The three that I put in my article at rotoexperts.com, we have Jay Cutler heading to Tampa Bay, Joe Flacco on Thursday night hosting the Browns. And if you're really needy, then Carson Wentz. He hasn't been playing as well as he has in the beginning of the season, but is hosting the Falcons. Of those three, which one would you lean to? Obviously, you know which way I'm going because I kind of listed them off in order there.
Yeah, I mean, for me, of those guys, I think it's Flacco.
Over Cutler?
Yeah, I actually like the way Cutler looked last week, so I don't hate that one. I do like Flacco, though. I think, you know, it's a pretty good matchup. We kind of know what Flacco is. He's kind of that mid-ceiling type of guy that if he gets you 250 and two, I think you're pretty happy about it. And with Cutler, I mean, Cutler to me is the more upside play, and I think it just depends on how you view your matchup going and kind of what you're looking for this week, because Flacco to me is the safer play.
I think so as well. Did you know the safer? I like Jay Cutler a little bit more for upside, only because you know the only game Joe Flacco has 300 yards and two touchdowns in so far against the Browns earlier this year. Granted, well, it is again. It's the Browns at home, and that's why you have the appeal, and that's why you love him for the fact that. But he's only done that once, which is so surprising. It's not 300 yards. He's passed for 300 yards twice, but the fact that he's only thrown 300 yards and two touchdowns once this year. This is definitely the most inefficient season we've seen from Joe Flacco so far.
Yeah, definitely. And you'd think with the, you know, Mike Wallace playing well, now Steve Smith back and some of these other weapons starting to be involved more, that he'd be putting up a little more consistent numbers.
Let me ask you that then. For this week, going with this matchup, would you rather play Steve Smith or Mike Wallace?
Ooh, I'm going to take Wallace still. I know Steve Smith's the target hog, and I expect that to swing back in his favor this week, but Wallace has been so sneaky good this year, and obviously doesn't get a lot of respect because he's, you know, he scored a 95-yard touchdown last week. It obviously helped his day, but I mean that's the kind of stuff that Mike Wallace has been doing his whole career.
Yeah, I think so as well. I really like Steve Smith in a PPR. I think he could have. If you looked at when he finally got on track earlier this year, those three good games in a row where he and Joe Flacco were looking like the chemistry they used to have 2 years ago, or actually even last year before he got hurt. But yeah, I think that if you're talking about the big playability for facing these Browns, Mike Wallace could put another game up like he did last week for their running back situation. If Charkandrick West is sitting out there, Darren Sproles, obviously Tim Hightower, hopefully he's not. But surprisingly, they're still not over 70% owned. So you got to always make sure that we mention these are can't be sitting out there in your league. And don't drop Charkandrick West, by the way. I've seen a lot of people do that. Are you surprised as I am in the fact that I dropped Charkandrick West with, yes, Spencer Ware sounds like he should be back, but he's still the next man up. Is everybody just so annoyed that he didn't step up last week?
It's no guarantee, I guess. I mean, you know, he has a really good matchup and you know, it just didn't go his way. But he's still some guy I want to own, even if Spencer Ware is fully healthy and back. I mean, he's obviously one injury away from being a starter again, and he really looked pretty good last year when he filled in for when Jamal Charles was hurt. So, yeah, I definitely think Charkandrick West is still a must-own player.
Okay. I just want to make sure. So top of my list for this week, Robert Kelly looked really good in a start before the Redskins bye. Gruden came out and said that he's going to get the bulk of the carries. It's a terrible matchup this week, don't get me wrong. And I actually think that of all the running backs for Redskins, this is a Chris Thompson week because those are the type of running backs that have had success against the Vikings, is the space-eating, the quick running backs, out of the backfield, pass catchers, Theo Riddick, Paul Perkins earlier this year for the Giants. All these kind of running backs have done damage. So I think that if I trust anybody, it's Chris Thompson. That being said, for the chance that Rob Kelly could keep the lead role job for the Redskins, I think he's a must-own at this point.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For me, he definitely is. I mean, I'm not sure. It could turn into a messy situation because I don't think Matt Jones is just going to go away, especially he's had a couple weeks off now with the Redskins having their bye last week. But I definitely want Kelly. Thompson, or we know what his role is going to be as the, you know, like you said, like the third down change of pace type of back. And really it's Kelly and Matt Jones battling out for first and second down duties.
Yeah, I think so as well. If you need a running back for this week, Doug Martin still isn't practicing. Jaquizz Rodgers is in a boot. Anton Smith is done for the year. If I'm a Tampa Bay running back, I probably sleep myself in bubble wrap at night at this point. But Peyton Barber is the next man up. And this is similar to Jerry Langford, I think, earlier this year, is where even if, and not saying he will have this happen to him, because we haven't seen enough to have a real gauge on what Peyton Barber could do, but that being said, worst case scenario, even if he only averages 3 yards per carry, by the volume alone, he's going to be somebody that's going to be in the fringe RB2 conversation.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think Peyton Barber is definitely in play this week. He's got a you know, a decent matchup against the Bears. I think he'll be able to find a little bit of running room. So I like it. I like it because there's hardly any competition for carries. So it definitely helps.
And then further down the list, Devontae Booker was less ineffective than we wanted to see. Capri Bibbs saw some snaps. There's talk now that Bibbs is going to see more of a workload. I think people are jumping to a conclusion here where they're assuming that means he's going to be the lead running back, which I don't think is going to happen. All that being said, at the same time, as much as I'm a fan of Devontae Booker, it sounds like you are the same, so I'll get your opinion on that, because I think he is very similar to C.J. Anderson in his skill set and can succeed in this offense. And he was my top three for rookie running backs, so I really like Booker. But at the same time, because he's the next man up, and you forget the fact of whether or not Booker struggles, I do expect him to do better. If he gets hurt, Capri Bibbs is the next guy up. Like, Damian Williams should be on rosters at this point. Not that he's doing anything great, but if Jay Ajayi ever gets hurt, he's the next man up. This is why you have Alfred Morris if you're Ezekiel Elliott owner. At this point of the season, that upside alone is why I think you need to add him to your team.
Absolutely, I agree, and I am a fan of Booker. I really do like what he could do. I think people are getting a little ahead of themselves with Capri Bibbs, who I think is a solid player, but I don't think he's what Booker could be, which is a special running back. So I definitely want Bibbs just because, you know, I think he's going to get a little bit more involved in the running attack. And obviously, if anything happens to Booker, next guy up, like you're saying. So he's definitely a guy that I want to own. But I'm still, for this week, I'm looking at it as Bibbs would be a really long shot play for me. He's still in play, but long shot. And Booker, for me, still definitely running back, high upside running back too.
Yeah, I think so as well. And then if you need another running back for this week, again, similar to Peyton Barber, but he looked really good last week, and he looked good at his times filling in for the Packers. That's Dewan Harris. Carlos Hyde is still in a non-contact jersey. Obviously, we'll know more. We're recording this on Wednesday. We could get reports later today. We could get reports on Thursday or Friday. So if Carlos Hyde is out there, Dewan Harris's value is severely hurt because Carlos Hyde has been great when he's been on the field, and that's really what the appeal is of Hyde, is he just has to stay healthy and he has a ton of upside. But if he is out again, I think Harris is at least, again, this is not the best matchup, but somebody that I would give him the slight edge over Peyton Barber for that fringe RB2 consideration.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, especially with Hyde's situation, the way Dewan Harris has played. I think they're both right there. You've obviously seen a little bit more of Harris in the past couple of weeks, and Barber's big game from a few weeks ago came kind of in garbage time, when really, I mean, Jaquizz Rodgers was running the ball really well, and you know, Barber just got into the action, kind of piggybacked off that and had a good game, 80 something yards and a touchdown. So I like both. I think they're both RB2 range, but Harris a little more, especially in PPR.
Yeah, I think so as well. Deeper, if you need – let's bring this up. I get questions probably – and this is an exaggeration – at least a dozen times a day. Should I drop blank for James Starks? Should I go pick up James Starks? When do I pick up James Starks? Do I pick up James Starks and possibly start him next week if he's – what are we doing about James Starks? I know we got to bench him. I pick him up and bench him and roster him because there's the potential that he takes over this backfield. But at the same time, he's been somewhat ineffective in recent years down towards the end of his career. Is this another volume type situation, or do we think that Ty Montgomery holds on to this hybrid role for the rest of the year and maybe Stark sees 7 or 8 carries per game?
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those really interesting situations. I do think the Packers need to establish some sort of run game because Ty Montgomery looks good, and he can definitely do that and pick up some big yardage like he has been doing these past few weeks. But then come the second half, when you try and run the ball again, like we saw against the Colts, no one's surprised, and everyone knows that it's coming when Montgomery's in the backfield, and they really had no element of surprise with Montgomery anymore. So I think having Starks back, you know, makes him, I guess, a low-end RB2 maybe. Love to see his usage before even saying feeling comfortable with that. But it's because he's be the only guy there. I mean, it's really would be Montgomery and him kind of sharing the backfield. And if what we've seen over Montgomery from the past few weeks, it's that he's going to get 5 or 6, maybe 7 carries and, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 targets in the passing game, which still definitely makes him wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3. Starks, if he could even carve out, you know, what, 10 carries and a couple catches, is going to be on the running back 2 radar just because of that.
Now, two more running backs that are coming back from injuries and have started to get on people's radars. They've actually been on radars for about a week or two now, but whether or not you should stash them, what do you expect from them when they come back? Deion Lewis and Thomas Rawls.
Yeah, Rawls, I think, is going to be part of an interesting situation. Christine Michael started off pretty good, had a couple good games early, has tailed off a little bit. And really hasn't been as effective. Obviously, last week really wasn't effective at all. CJ Procise is getting in work there. He's definitely a nice receiving back. I think he'll have a role. I think there's opportunity for Rawls right now to kind of come in and you know, I don't know if he's going to fully get that job back, but certainly earn a role with Christine Michael on early downs and possibly at the goal line as well. So that's going to be a very interesting situation to monitor. And for that reason, I'd take a chance on Rawls for sure. I think it's very, very interesting what's going to happen in Seattle there.
Yeah.
Who's the second guy?
Deion Lewis for the Patriots.
Deion Lewis. Yeah, that's another interesting situation. Yeah. I think that he comes back, and if he's healthy, they'll just start using him like they used him, you know, last year to an extent. And that means he might see, you know, 5 or 6 receiving targets and, you know, 5 or 6 carries in a game. And that means James White, I think, gets phased out a little bit.
Now, let me look at it this way. Is there any chance that Deion Lewis comes back and it's just a quagmire of the Belichick of past and he doesn't have the value that he did last year?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, when you're dealing with Belichick, I think that's always a chance. And James White has been pretty good. I think Lewis brings an extra bit of playmaking to the table. And I think they really like what he can do. But I certainly think there's that situation where maybe they still use James White a little bit. And obviously Blount's going to be involved as the early down thumper and the red zone guy. So maybe Lewis isn't going to get approach 15 touches in a game, which certainly is going to hurt his upside. But I think he's the type of player, even at 10 or 12, you know, touches, he's still going to be a guy I want on my roster as maybe a spot start, or deep, you know, flex play that I could roll the dice on if I need to.
Okay. Let's move over to wide receivers. Actually, before we do, is it too soon for Christmas music there, Bobby?
It is, yeah. I think my rule is after Thanksgiving.
Wow.
I'm happy with anything Christmas right after Thanksgiving.
So basically the after Halloween doesn't fly with you?
No. I'm not cool with that.
Were you just aggravated by the Kmart commercials with the Santa and the checkout line that were kind of hinting at it but didn't go full-blown Christmas that were at the beginning of October that just infuriated you?
Yeah, I think that's okay a little bit because in advertising, I think it's a little bit you got to plant the seed early, especially with Black Friday. I mean, it's just insane. So I think that's actually okay. I just – the music, it's a hard line in the sand for me. It's Thanksgiving.
See, I will say the other – it's like I don't have a problem with it, but I do wait till after Thanksgiving only because there's only about 30 or 35 at the max, I think, songs that I really enjoy that I can listen to more than once. So by being such a small sample of songs, if I start them too early, then by the time I get to Christmas, I've made myself tired of it.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like, I think we need, like, if you think about it, what's the last good Christmas song that's come out in the past 20 years? Mariah Carey's? Like,
it's got to be Mariah Carey.
Yeah, there's like no new Christmas songs. People just redo the old ones. So kudos to Mariah Carey, by the way, for bringing us new Christmas songs. I do appreciate that. So, okay, over to wide receivers as a nice little sidebar there. If Tyrell Williams, Cole Beasley, Jameson Crowder, Corey Coleman, Kenny Britt, any of those guys are sitting out there, make sure these are guys we're going to add before the rest of the people we're about to talk about. But at the top of the list, under 50% owned, surprisingly to me. And I understand, actually not a complete surprise because he was hurt, missed a little bit of time. But Steve Smith, we were talking about him in this matchup earlier. And I talked about it. He had the three really nice games. All three had 64 or more yards, two games with 11 targets and eight receptions. Great in a PPR, a little quiet in his first game back, but he's coming back from injury again, and now he gets back on the same page, shows that rapport with Joe Flacco again, gets Cleveland at home on Thursday night. I think you could pick him up and even start him in PPR leagues as a wide receiver three.
Yeah, I think we talked about it. He's definitely going to see a lot of attention from Flacco in the passing game. So I think you have to – it's good that he's already got a game under his belt and now comes back, and he's got a really nice matchup here on Thursday night. So, yeah, I think he's a definite plug-and-play type of guy if you've got a wide receiver on bye this week or you know, some questionable people. I think you can slide him right into your lineup.
Yeah, and then the next one up on the list, he put up a goose egg last week, but he's still up there for me. Can you guess who that is by letting you know it was a goose egg?
I had a couple goose eggs. I'm going to go with Coates coming
yes.
back from three and really literally dropping the ball.
Yep. Sammy Coates last week. But that big playability, and if you look at what he's got every single week, he often struggles. Like the Roethlisberger and the team often struggle in Baltimore. But I think there's better weeks coming when Ben Beck didn't look 100% last week.
No, definitely not. And I think he comes home. It's an interesting matchup. It'd be really good to see what the pace of this game is versus the Cowboys. But yeah, I think you have to I'm sticking with Coates. I the hands, it's totally frustrating, but it's like Will Fuller. I mean, he's just got that playmaking streak in him that just brings something that all the other receivers for the Steelers just do not have.
Yeah, and to along those same lines, and maybe you might like him a little bit more because of the effectiveness he's had on a per-target basis, which was the argument for him last year coming to the Titans, is that he was top 10 on a per-target basis in fantasy points per target in standard and PPR last year. Rishard Matthews finally starting to look like the receiver we thought he could be for the Titans. Over the last five games, his five touchdowns, 8.2 or more points in standard, let alone what he has in PPR. It's been inconsistent on a target basis, but if you look at what he's done on the targets, it's just been, like I said, last year, he actually has over 2 points, fantasy points per target in those last couple games.
Yeah, he's definitely been turning it on a little bit. I find it tough to rely on a Titans receiver not named Delanie Walker. Mariota has done a really good job of spreading the ball around. We've seen Kendall Wright pop off and have a few big games. If I own one, I definitely want it to be Rishard Matthews. I definitely think he's the guy that's going to be the more consistent player here. So, yeah, if I need some help or even bench depth, I think he's the kind of guy that I'd feel okay with plugging in on a weekly basis. And Mariota certainly turned it around a bit.
Yeah, I think so as well. And then what about his teammate Kendall Wright? Is it PPR appeal, standard appeal, both? Anything for you there?
Yeah, no, I still think he's got some upside for sure. And he's a guy I think you have to look at because of what he's been able to do with some big games. It's mostly for PPR, but even in standard leagues, I think he's a guy that I might consider for my bench for the stretch run.
Okay, and then go deeper. This J.J. Nelson, over the last two games, if you look at what he's done, he's basically turned it to the number two wide receiver. Actually, the production has been number one for the team, but I think John Brown is still the number two. Larry Fitzgerald is the number one. He had 84 yards against the Seahawks, which is impressive, and then 79 and two touchdowns against the Panthers. Is he somebody that not only you need to pick up, but somebody you can plug in and understand that, similar to Michael Young and John Brown before this, is he's part of that trio of receivers now where any given week that one of those guys could be a number one wide receiver, but maybe there's some weeks where you only get wide receiver four, but they're worth starting most weeks?
Yeah, it's a definite frustrating situation, but for what Nelson's done, I think there's a chance that he's in that mix with Fitzgerald and with Brown and possibly Floyd, and he's certainly got momentum on his side, having a couple nice games here. So, Nelson is one of those upside guys that I think is definitely worth rostering right now.
All right, and the last three to worth mentioning: Robert Woods, Brian Quick, Dontrell Inman. If you had a choice of those three, is there one that you prefer over the others?
I think it's Woods right now. He's actually been pretty decent. I mean, last week, obviously, he had a nice second half that kind of padded those stats a little bit, and even at the end of the first half. But that's what – I mean, that's what he's going to see. I don't think Harvin's going to be too much of a factor and really steal much away from him. He's the only game in town and for the Bills, and I think there's a growing trust there from Tyrod. So, yeah, it's Woods for me, although those other two guys I definitely – want a roster. Inman, I think, is more of a temporary situation because I don't think Travis Benjamin's 100%.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest part about it is that he's also been third in snaps, and probably part of the reason is the injury and hasn't been 100%. So I'm with you on there. At tight end, pretty thin as it has been for this year. Obviously, Eric Ebron, Dennis Pitta, Zach Miller, those guys should have been picked up. But the two that I have out there is Lance Kendricks, people that aren't paying attention to. Somebody who has 14.4, 12.5 and 16 PPR fantasy points in the last three games. He has 29 targets and 17 receptions in those games. Is everybody just ignoring Lance Kendricks?
Yeah, I think they are. And he's actually been pretty solid, like you're saying. I think he's been pretty decent for the Rams and a consistent, reliable target for Keenum. I mean, obviously the upside is not there, and I think that's part of it. And he's not a huge touchdown scorer, never has been in his career. But in a PPR format, I can get behind that for sure.
Would you rather have him or, for this next person, C.J. Fedorowicz for the rest of the season?
Oh, I'll take Fedorowicz, definitely.
Fedorowicz has been very up and down. He had 10.8, 6.1, 14.5, 3.5, 10.3. Those two games were in Minnesota and in Denver. So I think we can give him a little bit of a pass. And with Brock Osweiler at quarterback, is it the fact that that is the touchdown appeal? Because he also has touchdown. Those double-digit games, all three of those had touchdowns. Is that the appeal that you're making for C.J. Fedorowicz? Or is it just the fact that he's a bigger part of the offense?
Yeah, I feel like he's just a more consistent part of the offense, whereas with Kendricks, he's come on of late. You know, previous to the last month, he'd been kind of spotty, had some games where he really wasn't involved at all. I also am slightly concerned. I don't know if it's going to be a trend in the second half, but Higbee for the Rams got involved a little bit last week. And I think that could be something where they're trying to get a look at him a little bit more closely.
How about for this week only? Would you go Kendricks or would you go Fedorowicz?
This week, I like Kendricks this week, but I think that matchup for Fedorowicz is pretty good. I could actually see Osweiler maybe throwing for a couple touchdowns and having like 200-something yards. I'm going to stick with Fedorowicz here.
Let me throw one stat at you, see if it can get you to switch your mind. Jacksonville Jaguars averaging 4.9 fantasy points for tight ends against 329 yards and just one touchdown on the season. Meanwhile, the Jets have given up 514 yards and three touchdowns to tight ends. Gonna swing you a little bit?
That's not bad. Yeah, that makes me think about it a little more. Sure.
Think about it. Just consider it a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so.
It's close. Let's look at some of the games for this week. Cleveland at Baltimore, we talked about on the Baltimore side. But on the Cleveland side of things, Porta is not only are they sticking with Cody Kessler, but they said they want him to be more aggressive. Does that increase any of the appeal that you have Terrell Pryor and Corey Coleman, or you just were on board with those guys to begin with?
Yeah, I'm definitely on board with both of those guys for sure. I think Pryor a little bit higher on the pecking order for me. I think they're both definitely startable. I think Coleman's a nice wide receiver three.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Corey Coleman, if you missed out on getting him to this point, hopefully he's still there, but don't wait any longer. The time's about to be done. This is, by the way, speaking of what people have done against the teams in the past with Flacco versus the Browns, that really big game that Corey Coleman had before he got hurt, came against the Ravens. So interesting matchup situation here. Might be there for him again. And yes, it is Kessler quarterback again this time, but he did throw him seven targets last week, so he's looking for him already. Green Bay at Tennessee. We talked about the situation with the running backs for Green Bay. Let's talk about the wide receivers, though, because obviously Ty Montgomery is kind of this hybrid type of role. Randall Cobb kind of ruined a lot of people's weeks last week because we all thought he was going to sit out after what happened the week before. And then he plays and scores a touchdown. So either you got lucky or you got frustrated after possibly waiting for him last week and then not this week. And it was a mess. So assuming everybody's healthy, is it pecking order Nelson Cobb Adams, or is Adams in the conversation with Randall Cobb at this point? Because Adams only had two catches for -1 yards until late in the game and salvaged his day with the four catches for 40-something yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he definitely did. I still think he's right there with Cobb, depending on how the game goes. I think definitely Nelson's number one. I'd still put Cobb too, but I really think it's close between him and Adams. I think there's a little bit more trust there, from Aaron, with Davante Adams this year, and he's actually held on to more balls. So it's, and I think in the red zone, he's an option that Aaron looks at. So I think they're close. I'd still prefer Cobb, but it's definitely close.
All right, Minnesota at Washington. We talked about Ozzie out of the backfield over there. Washington situation. We talked about actually on this. So let's talk about receivers on either side of this. Is there anybody? I mean, I like Jameson Crowder a lot. Not the best matchup, Minnesota. On the other side of it, Stephon Diggs went crazy last week for PPR purposes, at least. Are these the two guys that we want? Are these the pass-catching, high-volume guys as Crowder and Diggs, or DeSean Jackson, Adam Thielen? I mean, is there anybody else on these teams where you would think about starting them?
I mean, maybe Deshaun, but yeah, I mean, I think you pretty much summed it up. It's Diggs and Crowder for sure. And then I think Deshaun is kind of on in that fringe range, and I don't really want anything to do with Thielen. I just don't know. I don't have any confidence in this offense, meaning the Vikings, other than Diggs and Kyle Rudolph at tight end.
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, yeah, the tight ends in this game are going to be great plays, obviously. Chicago at Tampa Bay. Talked about the Tampa Bay running situation. If Russell Shepard is back, obviously we don't know yet. It's a little bit early. But because of what they need in the red zone and the fact that the Chicago run defense has been pretty good, but you can beat them in the pass, is it Russell Shepard if you need somebody as your wide receiver four and can step into that flex position or even be your wide receiver three because you have people on a bye this week like T.Y. Hilton and Marvin Jones and Golden Tate, and you don't even get Robert Woods. And then two receivers, by the way, Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper out this week. If you needed that help, is he somebody that's worthwhile or you think it's just risky?
I definitely think it's risky, but I think if you're faced with limited options, Russell Shepard actually could be a pretty good play if he's active, and especially with we don't know what's going on with Mike Evans. But assuming Mike Evans is out there, I still think Shepard's a nice second option there in that offense.
I think so as well. On the other side of the ball, Chicago. Is it just, you know, normally we kind of go a little bit deeper. We don't get into the high-end players, but let's put this out there for people who have been waiting this long or maybe bought low on him. Are the frustrations over now with Alshon Jeffrey now that Jay Cutler's back and everything's just good again?
I mean, I hope so. I still don't have the 100% confidence that he's, you know, in that wide receiver one range where I thought I was getting when I drafted him. But I do think he's definitely wide receiver two and certainly a guy I think is going to be on the upswing and have a nice strong finish.
All right, Kansas City at Carolina. We talked about that. Spencer Ware's back. Just plug him right back into your team. On the Carolina side of the ball, Cam Newton, you know, we're getting close to trade deadlines here. If you need quarterback help, you've been streaming all year long. Are you trying to buy low on Cam Newton, or do you think this is just going to be a down year for him?
I don't think it's going to be as good of a year as last year, but he's certainly still a guy that's in the top five or six for me, and I think you can buy low in certain situations, especially in maybe a 10-team league where there's some nice depth. You've got a guy that, you know, maybe he owns Newton and Mariota, and he's willing to ride with Mariota and sell you Cam Newton for a discounted price.
I think so as well. Is Tevin Coleman, if he's back this week, do you keep rolling out Tevin Coleman back like you were before he got hurt? And that we talked about earlier with the situation with the Saints is you can start both of them and not be concerned and just understand that there's always a risk that one of them could get left out.
Yeah, I think that's the risk you assume when you start a guy like Coleman. I feel more comfortable with Freeman when they're both healthy, but we've seen Coleman obviously have some huge games. I think with his upside in that high-powered offense, yeah, he's definitely, as long as he's a full go, he's back in the lineup for me.
All right, let's go to Los Angeles and the Jets. All right, I'm going to put one on you, Bobby, and see if you have an answer because it's kind of tough. I don't know that anybody really has an answer. Is there any reason or hope behind figuring out what's going on with Brandon Marshall?
Yeah, I don't know. That's funky, right? I mean, all the red zone looks, still getting targeted a ton, and the production is just not there, not even close to where it was last year.
Yeah, are you trying to buy low on him, or you don't think that anybody would be willing to sell for a price that you'd be willing to spend?
I think you can get him pretty cheap. I'm riding with him if I own him. I don't think I'm actively seeking him out, though, at the moment.
All right. Well, on the other side of it, the Rams we've talked about. How about Todd Gurley? Todd Gurley got a tough matchup this week, but is he somebody that – you know, maybe you look at and see, oh, there's the Falcons. Seahawks isn't great, but Falcons, Seahawks, 49ers to finish off the season. Somebody that, hey, he could win you not only the first round if you're in it, but against the 49ers at home, he might be a championship-changing team.
Yeah, I mean, he could be. I'm certainly, for what an owner, you know, invested in him, which is a first-round pick, I just don't think you're going to be able to buy super low on him, and I just don't feel like riding that roller coaster because I don't think it's really going to, you know, like you said, there's a couple nice matchups in there, but I don't like what I've seen from the entire situation this year, so I'm avoiding that situation if I can.
All right, let's go over to Denver at New Orleans, which we talked about. Let's talk about Denver's side of the ball real quick. Is this basically – you know what? I think we know what to do with Denver. You start both the receivers.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, you start your receivers. You start Devontae Booker. Actually, let's look at it from that. We talked about earlier, we both really like Devontae Booker. How deep would you have to go where you might think about starting Kabree Bibbs this week? How about that?
Well, I think if you're in a 12-team league and you can start three running backs, I think he's in play.
Okay, that's fair enough. Let's go down to Houston at Jacksonville. We know DeAndre Hopkins, Lamar Miller, you got to keep rolling them out there. It hasn't been the best season, especially for Hopkins, but you know, that's you got that kind of talent you have to keep. Hopefully they fix things over the bye. That'd be really nice to see. Jacksonville's side of it, though. Chris Ivory, huge game. Whether or not you thought he got that touchdown, I kind of think he did. T.J. Yeldon had a good game, too. Allen Robinson bounced back finally. Is everything starting to turn right for Jacksonville? Blake Bortles, two games in a row of fantasy goodness. Are we starting to swing back around to last year?
I'm not buying it that it's all the way back. I think it's a great sign. And as someone who owns Allen Robinson in a bunch of leagues, I'm excited and at least a little bit happy about it. So, yeah, I mean, I think there could be on the uptick a little bit. I still don't have a lot of faith in Ivory being an every week producer, but he's a guy, again, you're going to have to roll with if you're in a deep league. Yeldon in a PPR, I think maybe is an okay guy, but again, some guy I'd rather have on my bench than be starting every week. For me, the only guaranteed start out of this whole team is Allen Robinson. Everyone else is fringe, not saying that they're bad. They're just, you know, Julius Thomas, fringe. Marquise Lee has been playing well. I think in a deeper leagues, he's usable, but not all guaranteed starts every week like Allen Robinson is.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Miami, it's at San Diego this week. Are you trusting Adam Gase with the I can't see myself taking the ball away from Jay Ajayi the rest of the way?
I mean, it's just 2 weeks ago he was like, oh yeah, we got to lighten up his workload a little bit. I don't want to overwork him. And now it's, yeah, I can't go away from it. I can't quit this guy. I think he's going to get huge work. It's a great matchup for both of these running backs here, for Gordon and for Ajayi. I think are both in a great spot to be RB1 producers this week.
Yeah, we know you have to keep rolling out Jarvis Landry in PPR leagues, but is there any chance that you're sitting him in? Actually, you know what? I presented this to somebody else, and I'm going to give you the same names because it's always fun to say, oh, well, yeah, you could bench him, but let's actually give realistic situations. So one of the ones I threw out there was you could have ended up with Jarvis Landry, and you could have had Emmanuel Sanders, and what were the other two? Hold on, let me find them. Terrell Pryor and Stephon Diggs. Would you consider sitting Jarvis Landry in a standard league if those were your options?
I think you have to. I definitely think you have to. So Landry, obviously, a lot of his appeal comes from a PPR format. And past few weeks, as Jay Ajayi has been going crazy, he hasn't been getting as many targets. They haven't been throwing as much. So yeah, I could definitely see you benching him out of those out of that group of players. I mean, Sanders is not a huge ceiling type of player, but certainly a nice wide receiver 2-3 with a good floor. You know, he's getting almost 10 targets a game, which is great. Diggs, the only game in town for the Vikings, and Pryor has been a really good top 20 producer all year long. He's been very consistent. So yeah, I think it's going to be close. It's certainly a headache every week because you could, you know, roll the dice on the wrong one. But I don't think it's a given that Landry's the starter out of that group in standard.
All right, well, here's the one for you. To take it a step further, Dallas at Pittsburgh, at what point can you bench Dez Bryant?
Yeah, I'm going to have to be in a pretty deep league to bench Dez Bryant.
Well, let's flip it around then. Let's say you own Dez Bryant with Emmanuel Sanders, Jarvis Landry, and Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
Do you sit him in that case?
Nope, I don't think I do. I like the upside too much. I'm willing to – it's not the Dez of old, but I'm willing to tolerate a couple duds if he's not needed and or Dak is spreading the ball around to old man Witten and guy, you know, Cole Beasley, who he's had a good rapport with. So I think there's going to be those weeks for Dez. We saw it earlier in the year before he got hurt. We saw it last week. But we also saw a couple weeks ago what his upside is. And you know, he's in the wide receiver two range for me. So he's not that elite one anymore. But definitely still a guy I'm starting over someone like Landry on a weekly basis.
For San Francisco at Arizona, because Carson Palmer was dropped in quite a few leagues last week with the bye and the fact that his play has been a bit lackluster, definitely wasn't what it was last year. Do you go and look to possibly pick him up, especially hosting a team like San Francisco, maybe that the bye week gets him back on track to the Carson Palmer we saw last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what the hope is that obviously the you know, weapons around him have been really good. David Johnson's having an incredible season. It's been the touchdowns that haven't been there for Palmer consistently, and that's been the main difference from this year to last year. Because the yardage is there. So if he can get a few more scores, his fantasy season is going to turn around in a hurry. So, yeah, I definitely like Palmer. I think he's a good guy if you need quarterback help for the rest of the year. I'm willing to take a chance given all the talent around him.
All right, well, Seattle at New England on Sunday night. What are we doing with the Seattle backfield at this point? We talked about Thomas Rawls earlier. It doesn't look like he's returning this week, but Christian Michael, 5 carries, 1 yard, a touchdown last week. CJ Process was supposed to be more involved. Didn't see a whole lot last week. It looked a lot of that had to do with game script, but at the same time, how confident can you be in starting Michael or Process?
Yeah, I don't think you're very confident in either one, personally. I mean, if I'm starting one, it's Michael right now. Again, haven't liked the way he's played or looked in the past few weeks, and Procise is eating into that work a little bit. So I think it certainly hurts both their values, where Procise is on the upswing. Michael is needs a few big performances here before Rawls gets back, like we talked about a little bit earlier, because his owners have to be nervous right now.
Yeah, I think so as well. Final game of the week is Cincinnati at Giants on Monday Night Football. Obviously, some big names in this, A.J. Green, Odell Beckham. Quarterback's pretty good with Dalton, Eli Manning. You're going to feel good about both running backs with the way that the Giants' run defense has been this year, speaking of the Bengals and Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one. I feel like if you're going to, you know, pinpoint a game, maybe it's a Geo game, but because they have been tough against the run. But I mean, I think you're rolling out both as running back twos this week.
And on the Giants side of things, are you picking up Paul Perkins, thinking that he could change this backfield situation? They just lost Justin Pugh. Is this just this running game's never going to get on track for this year, and they're going to be similar to, you know, the Redskins, their pass heavy team, and it's been a frustrating year to try and find anybody of value? Or, like I said, is this something where you're saying, oh, maybe Perkins can be somebody who breaks through late in the year and can kind of be a game changer for me?
Yeah, for me, Perkins is a guy I'm definitely interested in. We saw even usage last week between him and Jennings, and neither had a great game, but I think Perkins certainly looked better. And I think it's something that it could possibly swing in his favor coming up in the next few weeks. So, yeah, Perkins is a guy for me when we're talking about if I need a stash, he's one of those guys I'm looking at for sure that I'm very interested in.
Yeah, I think so as well. So that's pretty much everything for Week 10. Hopefully we got you plenty of help for your waivers, got you ready for some of your lineup decisions. We've kind of covered it, I think, everything out there. And if you have any more questions, well, you know where to find us, at Olin Kidd for myself, at Hello on Bobby for Bobby. And we will be back next week. If you need any of our content, Bobby has some great stuff over the weekend. I have good stuff during the week. Check it out at rotoexperts.com, and we'll see you for Week 11.